And I want us to continue with the Will of God series tonight. We're looking at how God speaks. I wonder if you have ever heard people talking about, you know, God said this to me and God said that, and I heard the Lord say, and, you know, God's directed me and all of that kind of stuff. And you've sat back and gone, well, that's nice for you. You must be more spiritual than I am because I don't hear the voice of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if that's you, but I'm sure that there are a significant number of people in the church that hear words like that and maybe feel inadequate or jealous or whatever the case might be. Wow, I wish I heard the voice of God like that. The fact is, you do hear the voice of God. You just haven't recognized it as being God's voice in your life. And so this part of the Will of God series is aimed at helping you to hear God's voice, because God speaks in different ways. There's an interesting scripture we looked at about 3 weeks ago, and I've put it in your notes, from Job chapter 33 and verse 14. It says, "For God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." You see, you're not on your own. Even Job and his friends found that as well. The Lord does speak, and that's why we've been looking at various ways that God speaks to us, and there are many, many ways that he talks to us. Go to John chapter 12, because I want you to know that you're not on your own in not always recognizing the voice of God. I'm sure that God has spoken to all of us in different times and in different ways, and we've not heard him. One of the ways that God does speak to us is through repetition, and we'll look at that a bit more over the next few weeks. But maybe I'm just dumb, or maybe I'm just a bit thick or a bit slow, but sometimes God will speak to me one way and then another, then another, then another, and it's like on number four or number five, I get it. Is anyone else? Oh, good, three or four of us there. The rest of you are so amazing. But you're not on your own if you can relate to that, because that's exactly what they were like back in Jesus' day as well. In John chapter 12, and we'll pick it up at verse 23, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." That's one of the paradoxes in Scripture. You love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. If you just want to live for happiness and short-term pleasure and selfishness, and you're trying to do everything you possibly can to keep your life, Jesus said you'll lose it. And yet if you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom of God, if you invest all that you are and all that you have into the kingdom of God, you find it. And those of you who have done that know the words are so true. You're ultimately the happiest and the most joyous you can ever be is when you lay down your life for other people. You know, and when you just live in pursuit of your own personal happiness, happiness evades you. Have you found that? When you lay down your own desires and wishes and dreams for the sake of others that are often less fortunate than you are, you find ultimate fulfillment. When you do that, that's what Jesus is talking about in that statement. In verse 26, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Amazing words. "But now my heart is troubled," says Jesus, "and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. He's talking about his death on the cross. "Father, glorify your name." And then see what happens here. "A voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again." That's what God spoke. The Father spoke from heaven when Jesus said those words. And look at the people, the crowd that was there, heard it and said, "It had thundered." And there are others who said, "An angel had spoken to him." Isn't that amazing? You see, God speaks, but we don't always recognize it. The same with this crowd, you know, they all heard the Father speak those words. "I have glorified it," or probably more like this really, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it," or something like that. Just sounds more godlike, doesn't it, when you talk in those tones? Yes, you know, I can't imagine a little squeaky voice coming from heaven, can you? You know, "I have glorified it," because they wouldn't have said it thundered. It was more a squeak. But they didn't recognize the voice of God. Some said, oh, that must be thunder. And others, maybe it was an angel. And we're the same. God speaks and we go, nah, it can't be God, it's just me. I'm making that up. Nah, it can't be God. God wouldn't be speaking to me, would he? Yes, he is. In more ways, on more occasions than you and I ever recognize, God speaking to us. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at how God speaks. He speaks through the Word of God, the Bible. I call it the voice of God, which is what it is. This is the written voice of the living God right here. God will always speak first through his Word. That's why we need to get into the Word and get the Word into us on a regular basis. And we need to put everything that we hear and think might be God through the filter of his Word. I've had some people come to me over the years with bizarre things that God is telling them to do that contradict the Word of God. And if it contradicts this book, it's not God speaking to you. It's either your own head or it's a demonic spirit whispering into your ear and lying to you. That's where you always put it through the filter of the Word. He speaks through dreams and visions. The Bible is full of accounts of God speaking to people through dreams and visions. Acts 2:17 says, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Visions are pictures you see when you're awake. Dreams are pictures you see when you're asleep. Very simple. With a vision comes the faith to believe that what is seen will come to pass. A dream from God will have a profound effect on you, and you will remember the details of it for years to come. He speaks through events. All of the parables, or most of the parables of Jesus, were about events of everyday life where God spoke to people. God will speak to you through the events of your life. Something will happen, like the green light that we talked about earlier this year. And that's happening to me all the time now. It's bizarre. Even tonight, you know, down Bay Road, straight across Nepean Highway, not a problem, you know. Still green. Maybe it's always green. It's always green for me, you know. Amazing. And God speaks through the events of everyday life. He speaks through opportunities. Revelation 3 says what he opens, opportunities that God opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Open doors, opportunities for you. God will speak through those things. Tonight I want to focus on number 5, which is voice. God's voice, the way God speaks to us. All the way through the Bible, we read about God speaking to his people. And I encourage you, as you read your Bible, to make note of the times when God speaks audibly to people. He spoke to Moses, to Noah, to Abraham, to Jesus, to Paul, and to many others. And even just mentioning those names, some people might sit back and go, oh, well, obviously, he's going to speak to Abraham and Moses and Noah and Paul and Jesus because they were the famous, they were the great. And other than Jesus, can I tell you, all of those other people that I've mentioned are just normal human beings, just like you and me. And if you don't believe me, read the accounts of those people in the Bible. Those people were very, very normal. And I love the honesty of the Word of God. The Bible records all the good stuff that they did and all the dodgy stuff that they did. And I'm sure that, you know, up in heaven, they're like, do we have to record that? And God's like, yes. Everything. Why? Because if he didn't, you and I would read the stories of Abraham and Noah and Moses and Paul and think that they had it all together and that we could never attain that sense of godliness and God could never use me in that way. But he used them mightily despite the stuff in their life. Isn't that awesome? And even the mountains that they had in their world that they spoke to that didn't move, he used them despite those things too. And if God spoke to those guys, why not speak to you as well? But you know, he didn't just talk to the so-called famous people or the great people. He spoke to everyday people, ordinary people, just like you and me. At Jesus' baptism, a voice came from heaven after Jesus was baptized. This is my son whom I love, and in him I am well pleased. That was spoken to the crowd that were there. Hundreds, possibly thousands of people gathered around the river, people being baptized, John the Baptist ministering. Jesus comes out of the water. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, comes and rests on him, and the Father The Trinity working in action there, Son, Spirit, Father, all at once, working together. God speaks, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And everybody heard the voice of God. Same deal at Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus leaves the nine at the bottom of the mountain and takes the three, his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, goes up on the mountain. And they have this amazing spiritual experience where Moses and Elijah appear to Jesus and Peter and James and John on the mountain. The Bible says that Moses and Elijah talk to Jesus about his impending death on the cross. I believe at that particular moment, Jesus was filled in with all the details of what he was about to do to save the human race. It was an amazing experience. Peter didn't know how to handle it. And so he's like, "Wow, this is an incredible experience. How about I build three tents? One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And God shut him down right there. A cloud descended. And the same words were spoken as were spoken at the baptism of Jesus. While he was still speaking, Peter, a bright cloud enveloped them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Same words spoken at the baptism of Jesus. And then he added three little words, "Listen to him." You know, just that statement is a statement that each and every one of us should share with other people as often as we have opportunity to, because it describes everything we need to know about Jesus Christ. He is God's Son, whom God loves, whom God is well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came, he touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." We shouldn't be afraid when God speaks to us, even though he might say fearful things at different times. We should always be encouraged and strengthened when we hear the voice of God. A few weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 10, and it talks there about the sheep of God. And Jesus said, "I'm the shepherd, and you're my sheep." And then he made a statement. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." Hands up, or should I say, hoofs up, all the sheep. If you are a sheep of Jesus, put your hand up right now. Don't be lazy. Okay. The whole bleating lot of you, basically. If you are a sheep of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you hear his voice. Think about that. You hear his voice. So don't sit back and go, "God's not going to talk to me. God's not going to say anything to me." He is. He will speak to you. You just need to discern when it is him speaking and how he's speaking to you. God speaks to us in two particular ways in regard to his voice. Number one is a gentle whisper, and the other is in an audible voice. And I just want to quickly look at those two before we finish up tonight. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a great story. This is a story that demonstrates what I just said a few moments ago about all of the people that were employed by the Lord as being just ordinary, everyday people. You know, we look back at Elijah, for example, the person that's spoken of in this chapter, and we think, "Wow, what an amazing man of God." And he was. What an incredible prophet of God he was. How amazingly used of God he was. But he was just an ordinary man, just an ordinary human being, just like you and I. And it's so important that we understand that. Elijah had just had incredible victories. If you look back at the couple of chapters before chapter 19, he'd had amazing things happen in and through his life. The earlier chapters record all of the different miracles that God used him to perform. There was the widow at Zarephath whose son died, and Elijah comes along and raises this boy from the dead. That's a pretty phenomenal thing to be used of God in, isn't it? You know, to be used. Someone's died and God uses you to raise that person from the dead. That's pretty phenomenal. During a drought that he had pronounced upon the land because of the wickedness of the people, he was supernaturally fed by ravens. That's pretty bizarre. Ravens, scavenger birds that would eat everything they could possibly find, and yet God used ravens to bring food to Elijah during that time. I mean, only the Lord knows what type of food the ravens brought. You can only begin to imagine. It's like, ugh, you know, after a while, he's probably start raven mad with all the worms and stuff that he had to eat. Not very nice stuff. And then in chapter 18, we read of this amazing confrontation that Elijah had with the false prophets. And have a read of 1 Kings chapter 18 at some stage. Absolutely phenomenal, where he calls on the name of the Lord and he says, the God that answers by fire, he's the true God. It's a phenomenal account. The false prophets all get together and they do their chanting and all of that kind of stuff, and nothing happens, and they try a bit more. And Elijah taunts them all the way through, you know. One particular, you read it in the Amplified Bible, it's pretty amazing. He's saying, maybe your God's gone on holiday, or maybe your gods have gone to the toilet. That's literally in there, you know, and he's taunting them with this full-on sarcasm because their gods are not answering by fire. And then he says, okay, now he said, your gods are not answering, my God will. He said, bring all the water you can find and tip it on the sacrifice. In other words, make this as impossible as you possibly can. And then he called on the name of the Lord, and God consumed the sacrifice with fire, and the false prophets were taken out of the picture. And so he'd had amazing experiences, miracles, all of this different stuff. And then Jezebel comes along and threatens him, and the big man of God runs for his life. Isn't it phenomenal? We pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 19, and it says, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. In other words, this lady saying, Elijah, I'm going to kill you for what you've done to my prophets. Elijah was afraid. This is the man of God here. This is the great man of faith and power. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Anyone here ever done that? I have. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I've prayed that as well. I am no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. He was depressed. He was going through this full-on depression. Let me tell you, after a major victory, you will often struggle with something in some way. And what you're going through is quite normal, quite natural. Don't beat yourself up. Very important. This guy was just like us. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. What a wonderful word from God. See, sometimes we look for super spiritual answers to things. What he needed was food. Get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. He went back to sleep. I think that's wonderful. This angel, while Elijah was sleeping, had cooked a cake, angel food cakes. You see, God knew what he needed. And sometimes what you need is something very natural. If you've gone through a great victory or a phenomenal time and you're feeling a bit flat, maybe you just need some nice food and a nice drink and a good sleep. And then when you wake up, you'll feel better. Sorry if that's not spiritual enough for some of you. I think it sounds pretty good. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And here he is. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." This guy was depressed. He was going through a really tough time. And that's the way we feel when we're depressed or down or discouraged and we're going through a tough time. It's just me. It's just me. I'm the only one. And he wasn't the only one, as we'll see in just a moment. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He repeated the same words, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus," and so on and so forth. In verse 18, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Interesting passage, and if you're following the week in the Word, you'll have a good read of that chapter this week. Here he was, depressed, man of God, you know, and "Take my life, I'm the only one that's left serving you." And God taps him on the shoulder and goes, "Yeah, you and 7,000 others, buddy." Sometimes God will speak to you with that gentle whisper. The King James and the New King James Bible call it a still, small voice. It's not really an audible voice. It's most often an impression in your mind where God just simply whispers something into your spirit, into your mind. I know it. It's when I get a thought that's more intelligent than me. It's like, I wouldn't have thought of that. Must be God. That's God speaking, whispering into you. A thought comes into your mind and it's a good thought, and it might be a directional thought. And you go, wow, okay. And it was totally out of left field. You weren't thinking along those lines or whatever. But you'll only hear this if you have room in your world to hear it. Because so often life is noisy, busy, stressful, hectic, and we race from one thing to another, and we fill up every spare moment with noise. We're in the car and the radio goes on, and that's okay, but there needs to be some times when you switch the radio off. There need to be times when the TV goes off. There need to be a time when you don't listen to that CD of that wonderful message at that particular time, because you need some peace and quiet in your life. You need that space, because God's not in the noise. He's not in the wind and the earthquake and the fire. He was in the gentle whisper. That's when we need to hear. Need to be still and know that He is God. We need to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I've had numerous occasions over my life as a Christian where I have heard the gentle whisper of God. In fact, I would say that's the most frequent way that God communicates with me. It's just that time when you know that you know that you know that God has spoken. One particular time that was very strong to me was when Christy and I, quite a number of years ago, were over with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. And at that particular time, he'd only just started his church. And they'd got an old nightclub building, and they just leased it, and they'd gutted it and fitted it out into an auditorium and offices and children's rooms and everything. And I'd never ever seen it before. And I'd arrived there with Christy and walked into the building. And as soon as I walked into the auditorium, I heard the gentle whisper of God. It was, "Get Bayside Church into something like this." Wow. And I shared it with Christy, and she said, "Yeah, I'm getting that too." And so we came back and we shared it with the leadership of the church, and the process began. I could see it right there, you know. It was like, wow, this is what Bayside needs. And God is saying, get the church into something like this. And so we did. And this is it. It's pretty good. This came out of a gentle whisper of the Spirit of God to the Spirit of Rob. And it all happened. There are times as well that he will speak to you in an audible voice. And I believe they're rare moments, but it is likely that sometime in your life God will speak to you in an audible voice, and it may or may not be heard by other people who are standing nearby. All the way through Scripture, when God spoke, sometimes people heard it as well, others. Sometimes it was just the person. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to finish up with this right now. The worship team, you might like to get yourselves into place. Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord. I want you to note that, okay, because in a moment there's another statement there. He ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. What an interesting statement. The word of the Lord was rare. There weren't many visions in those days. Reason for it was that there was sin in the leadership. And so the voice of God kind of dried up during that time. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down again. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." I wonder how Eli's words changed over the process of time. You know, if you got kids, when they come into your room, you know, the first time it's like, "Hello, sweetheart. What do you want? You know, what can I do for you? The next time they come is, "What do you want now?" And then the third time, "Will you get back to bed?" So I'm just wondering if it was the same here. "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Isn't that interesting? He was ministering before the Lord, but he didn't yet know the Lord. There's a lot of people like that. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling. That's one of those "duh" moments that I was talking about earlier, where God speaks by repetition and we finally get it. "Oh, you must have been saying something to me." And God says, "Yes, I was." Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." God speaks through an audible voice at times. I've only ever heard the audible voice of God a couple of times. And I find that they're normally at times of great challenge, and often crisis moments where we need to hear him speak to us and speak very, very clearly. It was quite a number of years ago when I was in my room and I was just praying. I was before I was married, and I won't tell you what I was praying about, but it was before I was married. And, and you know, I was getting up into my early 30s, so you know what I was praying about. And just praying with great fervency and gusto. And God spoke to me in an audible voice, and his words were very simple. And I find God is short and sharp and to the point. And he gave me four little words: "It won't be long." And it wasn't. It's cool. Pastor Charles shared a few weeks ago how God called him to himself. And he was sitting in a church, falling asleep, and he heard the voice, "Charles, I want you." And Charles turned around to see who was speaking. And he realized it was God speaking. And so he gave his life to Jesus that day, as you would when you hear the audible voice of God. Listen out for him. Have an awareness in your life to have God speak. Every time you spend time with him, pray. That prayer of Samuel, I think, is a great prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak to me today. As you go out through your day, have that consciousness of God and his presence in your life. Turn that noise down. Have some peace and some stillness and some quiet in your world. Say, Lord, I want to hear from you. Speak to my heart. And he'll talk. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your precious word tonight, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of these truths, Lord. Through your word, we have heard your voice tonight. Through your word. And we pray that prayer, speak, for your servant is listening. Lord God, each and every one of us, we just make a choice right now to turn the noise down in our world, to have times of stillness, peace, quiet. Lord, that we would not miss the gentle whisper of your voice. So much pain, so much heartache, so much challenge can be avoided or reduced just by hearing you speak to us. We thank you, Lord God, that you speak. We will be people who discern your voice, know when you're talking, and be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen.